One.
Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. Hi, I am Lola Singer.
And I am Amaral.
And we have a special guest today because, alas, our pal Pamela is still on hiatus. So because we like this dynamic of three people giving us ideas to talk about fun and woo-woo topics, we have a special guest, Sammy Samantha Parrot Blodell. How do you like to call yourself lately?
Sammy's fine.
So for those of you who are kind of new to our podcast, we designed this podcast lovingly in order to help people who are new to the spiritual journey so you can understand some of the ups and downs you're likely to encounter. Based on our experiences, we just let you know what happened with us. And I was really, really new to spirituality. Living in Seattle, I woke up about 2010, 2011, and had that voracious, I gotta learn more about everything spiritual. And guess who I found? Sammy. So Samantha is not only an amazing energy healer in her own right, she teaches Reiki and she sees auras. And she likes to share this with you your TikTok.
Yep. TikTok, I have quite a few videos that have meanings of the different shades of color. And just a lot of information on there. So
when I met Samantha, I knew nothing about auras. I know a little bit about energy healing because I had taken a course called Chios, which is a style of energy healing that involves hands. It's similar to Reiki, but not quite Reiki. And then a friend of ours, a mutual friend, said, you should be coming to Samantha's Reiki circle so you can practice. And I was so scared to go to your circle because I'd only done this one style of energy healing. And I was like, I'm not good enough to be in this circle. There's all these Reiki healers, right? And then I show up and she's like, oh yeah, you don't need a Reiki to have fun here. So we love Samantha. She's just a wonderful person who fosters people's confidence mm-hmm. in themselves by allowing them to practice their energy healing modalities in a safe environment. And then on top of that, she can tell you what your aura looks like. So what do you want to say about Samantha? That's how I met her.
Yeah, and how I met her was through, I also got invited to a Reiki circle. And that's the first time I met her. In her office back in Mount Vernon, actually. And the same thing that with Lola, I had heard about Reiki. I hadn't taken any Reiki classes. And the first time I was there, I was so nervous because I'm like, well, I'm going to be here and everybody knows Reiki except for me. And she's like, it's fine. You just kind of focus and sending good energy. You can do prayer. And at first it was kind of, I felt really comfortable after the first person because we took turns. And then I decided to take Reiki classes with her. And I got to, it was her and Babs, actually. So that was really cool because otherwise I would have been by myself, which is...
Babs is
Samantha's sister. Which she happened to have passed. But I'm really grateful that I got to meet her. And I'm really grateful that we had this, deep connection, I guess, because then we find out that we had a previous lifetime together. So that's how it just rotates. But I am so thankful for Sammy because, again, I was so new in the spiritual community, didn't know anything. She's so patient. She's so motherly. She's so nurturing that she just helped me to build up, and I don't think I would be here if it wasn't for her. So thank you.
Yes. So our topic today, besides saying how much we love Sammy and how supportive she is to the newbies like we were, is because we want to find out more about how we can keep our energy clean. Mm-hmm. That's something you don't recognize when you're new to the spiritual path, is that it's just a matter of hygiene. You brush your teeth regularly. You also need to keep that aura clean and shiny, right?
Yes, she's not in her head yet.
So we're going to ask her for some tips on that, and then also talk about energy modalities in general. So Samantha, after that glowing presentation of who you are, what would you like to say about how what we just said, you welcome the newbies so well. We were both scared when we met. I had you intimidated. You made us feel comfortable. You let us open up to even more gifts than we realized we had. Mm-hmm. So what would you like to say about experiences like that?
So basically, I'll tell you, going back to my early experience, because I first started seeing auras that I can remember when I was about 3.5, 4 years old. And my mother had a restaurant. So I saw lots of people's colors every day. And I did not know, this is late 60s, early 70s. There weren't books. There weren't a lot of things that we see nowadays. So I had to just kind of learn on my own. And I met people, but I didn't really have the support to understand what I'm seeing. So that is what really led me to be this driving force to be kind of, I guess, a cheerleader for people to really know their intuitive gifts. Because so many people don't even think they're intuitive. They're like, I'm not good at that. And I go, yes, you are. You just perceive it a different way. So it's kind of like my sole purpose to always be there and let people really kind of develop into who they're meant to be. I try to not, the world is filled with conditional people. I want to be unconditional in letting them kind of learn it themselves, but also hold space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess a concrete example of that would be, you see auras, but she teaches aura classes. She also encourages people to use whatever gift comes most naturally to them. So for example, clairvoyance, which is seeing, is not my top clair. My top clair is feeling. So we've had classes with Samantha where she's encouraged me to feel somebody's aura. Tell me what color you think you're feeling. And last time we did it, I was pretty accurate. I was surprised.
Yes.
And because I was going with the gift that is most natural to me to sense the aura. So I just want to bring that up too, because I think a lot of people think they're failures because they're not seeing the color.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I mean, there, in the aura world of healers, there's a lot of people that don't actually see the color.
I didn't know that. Did you know that when you were new?
No, right. I first learned about auras when I met Sammy, actually.
Yeah, and so, but I mean, going back to that, what is an aura? An aura really is the vibrational frequency of what's going on with you, what's coming in, what's going out. Like everything's always a wave of energy coming in and going out. Everybody usually assumes that auras are the chakras, and they're connected, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Chakras are battery packs. They kind of bring the energy in and help you to be more in harmony or balance. But auras are the information superhighway. They're always giving you information of what you're releasing, what you're bringing in, what you're holding on to. There's a lot of things in people's auras that people go, I have that in my aura? So it is one of those things where why should you know what your aura is? Is because it gives you more information for you. to have more of a better decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes we don't even realize our programming from when we were children of you can't do certain things, and then we realize later that's exactly what we should have been doing, or I hate to say the should word, but auras give us a lot of information about ourselves that maybe otherwise we wouldn't know if we were just focused on the three-dimensional world. So, sorry about the planes flying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the audience know we're on location, and apparently the planes fly low over here.
So, so just auras, there isn't a good or a bad aura, too. That's another thing. A big thing that's like top question I get asked is people, I must have a really bad aura. And I'm like, it's not a judgment of your character. It's a reflection of what you're processing.
It's like the frequency you're emitting.
Right.
And that changes all the time. Because
changes.
All it takes is for you to shift your mood, and your aura will shift with you.
Absolutely.
So that I didn't mean to interrupt. That was the question I was going to ask is just you explaining how often do auras change as far as colors go?
They could change in a minute. They could change in 5 minutes. They could stay the same for quite a bit, because sometimes you are so focused and that's what you need to process. And that's, and some of the same colors might show up, but most of the time it's a reflection of your emotional body. What is your emotions doing?
Which is why there's no right or wrong, everybody.
Okay.
It's just who you are at this particular moment in time, and we're always shifting constantly. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I didn't know when I was new, so I would like to reiterate that you can get an aura reading, which is great, but your aura is going to change later. So that doesn't mean your aura is going to stay that way forever. So you might want to get an aura reading like every 6 months or every year or something, or even whenever you have a big life change.
Absolutely.
Because it's not static. It just, and so I think that's one of the things that I thought, you get an aura reading once, that's it. That's what you always look like. The other thing I think we haven't talked about yet is it's in the shape like of an egg around you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So yep. It's like a colorful, and there's different layers to the aura. So it's just this beautiful kaleidoscope of color in kind of this womb egg shape, right?
Absolutely.
So
yep.
Can you tell us about those layers and what they are? Because I think that would be fascinating for people who are listening.
Well, and there's so much information too. One thing that I do want to add too is that also, like within the colors that she was saying, like one thing that has really helped me when she does an aura reading on me is it can also tell you what you're currently going through, so that way you can kind of clear it out. So it's almost like a letting you know, hey, you need to work on this. Though this will help you if you worked on this. So I thought that was really fascinating too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
sometimes conversely, everything looks great, so you just keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, great. Want to keep that aura. And it's along the lines of, Lola, you do tarot readings. You know, and some of the spreads, you probably like, I want to keep this spread. I don't want it to change, you know. And then the next day, okay.
Well, the only constant is change. So, what better way to work with change than to know your aura? So,
yep.
Right.
Please tell us about the layers.
Yes.
Okay. So the first layer. So, like I said, there are 7 layers of your aura. They're not perfectly lined, though, because it's energy. So it's still moving. So that's one thing I do have to tell people. They think, is it a perfect line? It's always kind of, everything's moving.
It's swirling like a lava lamp,
right? We are energy. Everything here is energy. And so it is, just know that it's not like linear, like precise. Like,
but if somebody does an aura reading, they have to show it to you in layers.
Exactly.
But
it's the easiest way to explain.
My tarot teacher Eli also sees auras, and he talks about how it's moving, and it's just a beautiful kaleidoscope of colors. It's like, he says it's so fascinating, it's hard to focus on one part to draw it, but it's very
absolutely
very, very movable.
Now,
that's why sometimes people go, are we on the 5th layer? And they go, no, we're on the 6th layer. Oh yeah. Okay. Because I have to kind of refocus, like you said. Yeah.
And before you go with the naming each layer, just one question. On the layers, Are they different sizes usually?
Yes.
And does one being closer, like being smaller, does it mean something as opposed to something bigger? Or is it just kind of a, just sometimes there one is smaller and one is bigger?
So traditionally they are smaller as you get closer because they're closer to your physical body.
Okay. So energy is condensing.
Condensing yep. as it comes in. So normally the outer layers are a lot bigger.
Okay.
But there is times when you are so focused on something that either you need to process or needs to come forward that one of the main three layers that are closest are the physical, emotion, and mental layers. So sometimes you are working on something that needs more expansive energy. So okay. then it expands.
Okay.
Okay. So the first layer is normally only like 2 inches off your body. Even when you think about like therapeutic touch or Reiki, if you're doing a healing on people, a lot of people, that's where their hands are when they're doing Reiki, if they don't do hands on touch. So it really, you can really feel the aura when you do that with that kind of healing. And like I said, that's the physical. And that doesn't mean that it's just about the body. It's like what you're, I guess you would say what your actual physical body is experiencing as far as the energy. The second layer is the emotional layer. So it is normally up to 10 inches off your body. But just last night in an aura circle, there was a few people that had a lot bigger emotional layers that went out about a foot at least. So like I said, it's, sometimes if you're processing more emotional stuff, mm-hmm. your aura will get bigger to expand the energy.
And that could be good emotions or emotions that
right.
that need healing.
That need healing.
Either way.
Right.
Could be bigger.
So the third layer is mental layer. This one is about a foot off the body. As we know, it's like thoughts, beliefs, ideals. So sometimes the emotional layer is one of those layers that, I mean, the mental layer is one of those layers where there might be some denser energy because, as we know, we get caught in our head overthinking. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I try to say there isn't a negative thing to this, but sometimes the most densest things are in the mental layer. And then also in the fifth layer, which is your blueprint layer, because there again, we're in a human body, and we and that human body kind of gets in the way of our spirit having fun. And it helps us, and we came here to do that, but it also gets in the way. So yeah, our mental layer is obviously processing our thoughts, beliefs, and ideals. Now the fourth layer is interesting because it's like the bridge between the physical and the spiritual plane. It's usually about a foot and a half off the body. It really, sometimes it's kind of like there's no bridge. It's a perfect balance. Sometimes it's about what's coming in to get you into that harmony that you need. So the next one is the fifth layer is the blueprint. Like I said, the blueprint doesn't mean that it's absolutely set in stone, even though you think a blueprint is, that's yeah. the way it is, but different times of your life, you sometimes create new foundations. Like let's say you got divorced and you moved to a whole different country. All of a sudden, you have to kind of create a new foundation for your life. So that shows up in that fifth layer a lot of times. It also, though, because it's blueprint, it does connect to your childhood and your past with your family. So that fifth layer, a lot of stuff about family dynamics show up.
So are these the parameters you've set up in the spirit world before you come to Earth that you're working within that system?
Right.
And then you have free will within that system.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's, there again, this is just out of, we have a lot of things that we set up. We're not talking about that today, but there are like actual DNA strands that we disconnected to come into a body on this earth so that we would have free will and not remember the old lives so that we could move forward. Which, of course, after a while, you start to remember those past lives, but that's another idea. So your sixth layer is your connection to people and unconditional love on this planet. It also connects to earthbound souls, which is ghosts and spirits that are close to the earth. So that's really powerful, and it normally is if you are having an issue with another human. That will show up. If there's some dynamic that needs to change, that'll show up in that layer. And then the last layer, there's actually more layers, but these are the ones that are closest to Earth here, is the seventh layer. And that's your soul purpose layer, soul path layer. And it really gives you information about more about your future, what you're moving into, because it's the farthest out. Some auras are really big. Sometimes, especially healers, because like if we're giving a talk or whatever, we're going to make our aura even up to 30 feet out so that we can be really hold space for the whole room that we're talking to. Let's say you're in downtown Seattle on the bus, which I have been many times.
Me too.
You have a skin tight that aura where it's all compacted very close to your body. So it really is true that we can make our aura go in and out, and at different times we're doing that.
And it's just a very natural process. People aren't even aware of it.
Exactly. Absolutely. And so I've talked about how far out these things are, but no, I guess on average, most people have their aura out about 4 feet when they're not thinking about it. And that's another thing, is I'm talking about humans, but plants and animals have it. We went to a horse class, and the horses have like a aura that's about 25 feet. And that's why horses are so perceptive. They're always knowing what's behind them. They're very perceptive. So you can feel auras. Most of the time, so everything has an aura, but the thing is, dense things like a seat, a table, the energy is so compressed that it takes a lot to see an aura around. But if somebody wore a piece of jewelry, like at a thrift store, antique store, you might feel the emotions on their jewelry because that is something that was close to them. So aura energy really is, like I said, not a bad or good thing. It's more the frequency that you are putting out. So on that note, one of the things that a lot of people come to me, they go, I think I'm cursed. And say, I think I'm cursed. But really, it's that they seem happy on the outside. They're smiling and everything. But their aura, their shadow emotions of their core emotions are, I'm not worthy, or I gotta prove my worth to the world. If I'm not wanted, I need to be needed. Things like that are in their aura. So we basically go in and teach them how to clear it up.
Exactly what I wanted to talk about today, about how do you clear your aura, how do you fluff it up and make it look really ideal.
So before we get going with that, I want to know a little bit more about what was your experience like growing up and then being able to see auras, and like did you have to go through a stage of your life where you have to accept it, like fully embody it, like just really be like, this is who I am? Or did you ever struggle with like, why do I have this? Why I don't want this or any of that?
Absolutely. When I was younger, before 15, mm-hmm. I felt, first of all, I was very different, so I was bullied in school. So I really kept to myself, so mm-hmm. that helped me actually in the long run to focus on this. I was one of the lucky ones that had a family that was very accepting and very open to this. I had an aunt that read all about it and was all mm-hmm. excited. So I am lucky in that way, I guess you would say. But when I got to be about 15, I really, you know, the teenage thing.
Oh, yeah.
Really started not liking, because I started seeing so-called bad things, too. Mm-hmm. One of them, well, there's two things that really affected me the most. One of them was a guy I knew, perfectly healthy guy, 27 years old. But I noticed that it looked like he didn't have an aura. Mm. And when I saw that, it freaked me out. I was thinking, what's going on? And there was nothing to tell me what was going on. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, he died in a car accident. And I was so shocked, going, oh my God, did I do that? I was like, did I do it? You know, because I just, what was that about? So, and then it's just... this other person really just ended up being a very, I hate to say evil, but I was waiting on tables in my mother's restaurant, and it was very busy, and my sister waited on tables too, and a guy comes in, and he won't look me in the eye, and he had his hood over himself, and he sat down, and just very quiet, and asked for coffee, and it just freaked me out. His aura just was so sickening. Yeah, that's all he can describe it as. It was the worst aura I've ever felt, and I thought, what is up? I just can't wait on him. I can't be near him. So I told my sister she had to wait on him, and she's like, okay, what's wrong with you? And then 3 days later, we're in the post office late at night, and that's when they used to have the wanted things up, and we're walking by, and there he is. And he had murdered a bunch of people. And so there again, I did not know, but that freaked me out. And so in order to not embrace my intuition and my auras, I started to party a lot like teenagers do. But it was funny, about the time I turned 21, the real age of going out, all of a sudden I was like, oh, spirit's saying I can run, but I can't hide anymore. Yeah. So all of a sudden that I had to face it again, and it was okay. And you know, and ever since then, it is a gift. It can be a curse sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it is a wonderful gift that we all have gifts. You know, I can't sing. I have a voice only a mother can love, and you know, and other people can sing. Lola has a wonderful voice, and so it really, each person has their talent. So that's just a unique talent, but I really have embraced it and love it.
And the reason why I brought that up, it's because I know a lot of you in the audience can definitely relate. Us spiritual people, I feel like all of us can definitely say we've been through a lot. And that is a common ground that we all have. And I think that with her sharing her story, because when you have something so like, it's such a beautiful gift, but yet to harness it, to accept it, to make it part of you and to bring it in with your true, like authentic self, it takes a lot of work, because it can't be a thing of just, oh, you're born with it and that's it. And a lot of you out there, may be doubtful of your gifts, or even may think that you don't have any gifts. And we all have different gifts, but nonetheless, there's so many different ways to explain it in a way, because even the people that are born with it per se or had it at a very early growing up, it's almost like a little bit tougher to deal with the world like that, because like it's almost like when you are an adult and you always neglect it and say, I don't have any gifts. It's like a gift you're opening up, like when you're healing yourself. But when you had it your whole life, it's like, whoa. So that's why I had to ask that question.
Yes. Yes. It's, and you know, over the years, more has opened up to me, because the clairs, when we talk about the clairs, which is the different ways of seeing, a lot of times people talk there's only six of them, but there's about 10 of them actually. Mm-hmm. But it really is a different way of perceiving. So my sister and I were pretty intuitive when we were children, but she never actually saw the colors, but she saw visuals of the colors. She would see, let's say, a red apple when their aura was red. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say, well, what color is in their emotional layer? And she'd see something that was that color in the world, but she didn't see like the color on them. Mm-hmm. So that's the one of the things about the clairs, is just like Lola is very much a clair empathy. Like she feels, she feels what's going on. And each person has their thing. The strangest ones. Oh, okay. So what clair would you call yours?
Your clair?
Mine?
Your top clair?
Definitely, clairvoyant, I would say, between clairvoyant and just knowing, like the oracle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We all have so many different ones.
And I think that's a good point, because people are picking up on auras and they don't even know it.
Probably. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. That's what this is about, is that, you know, when you sense things a different way. So I guess the strangest ones, though, of the two are the tasting. that's a wild one that only started happening to me a few years ago.
Clairgustans.
Yeah, exactly. And that one's kind of strange, but it really is true. So example of that is I looked at someone's aura and I saw a bucket of chicken. I kid you not, I saw a bucket of chicken and thought, what is that? When I was working with them. And I thought, that's crazy. So after I finished doing the healing on them and the reading, then I said, well, what's the chicken about? And they go, what do you mean? And so then I told them about the bucket of chicken. And they go, oh, I know what that is. She had, you know, signed the papers to rent this amazing studio to be her healing space, and she really didn't have the money, and kind of going, how am I going to survive? What did I do? Oh my God. And she was freaking out. So it's like your chicken to move forward, right? and that she needed to trust, you know, that the surrender and trust, that the reason why she did it was inspired action. So things like that come that way too, is that seeing or is also, you might kind of go, and we've heard of people, especially kids, will go, wow, that person has a glow around them. You know, especially in organized religion, you see the saints with the halo around their head. That's along the same lines of the aura. It really is a lot of professors. You'll see a lot of energy right here.
At the top of the head.
At the top of the head, right. So it really, it is about perceiving the aura in any way you can. Hmm. I know most people perceive it, say, oh, it's the color. And yes, I'm obviously talking about color, but all day long we could actually feel our own aura. I see my own aura. I feel it every morning to see if there's something I need to know. Obviously, I have more information than you might, but just get quiet and try to feel what you think is coming up for you.
Can a person, if they're quiet, kind of feel how far their aura is going out? Can they? I mean, I know I'm a super feeler, but most people have that ability, don't they, to kind
absolutely.
Of sense how far their energy is going out?
Absolutely. Yeah, so a good exercise along with that is to, when, let's say you're quiet and you kind of put your hands out like you're feeling, like from the inside of your bubble, you're feeling it and you feel like, wow, it's going. Let your energy feel how far it goes out. A lot of times I tell people, in order to get used to feeling how big your aura is, one exercise is that you sit down and you get quiet, close your eyes, and imagine your aura going to the walls in the room and feel what that feels like, and then bring it back closer to your body, and then bring it back out. So it's almost like waves of energy going back and forth, back and forth. And when you practice that, you get used to then going, wow, my aura is very close to my body. I must be feeling like I'm stressed, like I need to protect myself. Or my aura is really open. What am I doing, you know? So we can open and close our aura, and actually all day long we're doing it according to where we're going and what we're doing.
Yeah, and this would be what's called subtle energy. So you may not feel it right away. Some people will,
right.
Some won't. It takes a little practice. That's why I think you're saying be quiet so you can really tune into your body.
Right.
And you might just feel a slight fluctuation, or you might be able to push it all the way out, but you're not doing anything wrong. It's called subtle energy for a reason. You really have to pay attention to subtleties.
And a big thing is, don't think it, feel it. We are in a society of overthinking. And thinking about feeling.
Thinking about feeling.
It really is our whole body, our whole aura is in on the deal, not just right above your head. Usually this whole head area from your throat chakra on up, we put so much energy there. And this area is sensitive for a reason. Our main senses are there, at the head area for a reason, so that we do perceive things. But then if you overwhelm this area, a lot of times you do not get that subtlety. You get to that subtlety part because you've now overwhelmed the main senses that you focus on every day.
Yeah.
So it's about your whole body being in on the act.
Another thing that goes with that, which I always loved about when you were teaching us energy healing techniques, is you can envision that beautiful, colorful egg around you, but you have to pick up your feet physically and put yourself in the aura, because Samantha can see people's feet sticking out of the aura.
Hey,
so
absolutely.
Ever since she taught me that, it's like a picture, like this energy around me, I always pick up my feet and put them in the bubble.
Absolutely, yeah.
So are there, okay, you guys keep sidetracking, and I want to know how we work with Yora.
Okay.
So, Samantha, if you wake up in the morning feeling like, really like, you know, you've woken up to the Neanderthal age, right? You haven't had your coffee. You don't know where life is. You realize, oh my gosh, my aura must not be good. What would you do in the morning?
Well, actually, the best thing, and a lot of people would say this, is breath work, because it's true that as soon as you start bringing that, our breath is connection to spirit, our spirit side the most. And so as soon, take three deep breaths real quick, and then you're going to kind of go, okay, what am I feeling? And I know you just said, oh, and a lot of people, when they first wake up in the morning, they're like, ugh. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is to get past that and kind of go within. So what you're going to do is you're actually going to put your hands out in front of you and say, okay, what is my aura doing? And just, so what happens is in our brain, in our synapses in our brain, is when we ask a question, our ego and our consciousness gets out of the way, or our collective consciousness gets out of the way, and our brain starts working on solving the problem or the question, giving the answer to the question. So by asking, what is my energy doing, and getting quiet and just breathing calmly, that being quiet. So many people pick up their cell phone first thing in the morning. And it's best if you go, okay, if I do that, I set the alarm for 10 minutes. And I kind of go, for these 10 minutes, I'm just sitting here being. We're human doing, not human being most of the time. And that's the biggest thing, is to really perceive what your energy is doing. And when you ask the question, you'd be surprised how many times all of a sudden you'll go, wow, I'm really drawn to my right shoulder. What's going on? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where if you get quiet enough and just breathe and ask that question, your aura starts to give you the information. It really does. So, but another side of that is clearing your energy. So we think you wouldn't have to clear your energy first thing in the morning because you've been sleeping.
You've been active on the astral plane.
But as we know, our spirit goes out of our body at night. So it's very actually crucial to do it morning and night. Because at night you're doing it to clear any energy. Because a lot of times if you've gone out in the world, we pick up energy. And that's why so many people can't sleep at night a lot of times, is because there's so much of other people's stuff in their aura that they've picked up and they don't even know it. So it's very important to ground center, raise your vibration, and clear your energy. It just really, it's just like you said, just like brushing your teeth. You need to have a way of doing that. Most people ground through trees, which is good. That's a good way. My way of doing it, if you want me to tell everybody.
Please. these are tips people can practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my way of doing it is, you're going to, just like you would, you're just going to take like 3 deep breaths to kind of get into your energy space. And you're going to imagine sunlight beaming down and coming into your solar plexus chakra area. And you're there again, solar, so sun. So you imagine the sunbeam amplifying that area.
And the solar plexus is kind of partway between your navel and your lower rib kind
of
area.
Yeah. Yes.
Because people might not know.
And so then you just kind of want to expand that energy, make it a little stronger. So you're just focused on that. Imagine sun just beaming down on that chakra until you feel like, oh, okay, I feel the power. And there's no wrong answer, because you go, well, I don't know if I did it right. So don't overthink it. Feel it.
I'm doing it right now, and I can feel the power.
Exactly.
I can feel my aura get bigger.
Exactly. So then you're going to visualize it going down your body, out the bottom of your feet, and into the middle of the earth. And you want to just feel that power that is the middle of the earth. And it's just like maybe 30 seconds, not very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now what's very interesting is you're going to actually, your energy is not coming back up the way it came. It's going to come up from the bottom, the middle of the earth, but on the other side of the world. And when it does, then it will start traveling around. Mm-hmm. And it's just going around and around and around. And then it comes to the top of your head, it comes down and comes back into your solar plexus. And you feel that.
It feels very protective.
Right. And it starts making a loop, because then all day long, your energy's going back down and coming back around.
So it's like you're creating a toroidal field.
Exactly. And you feel like, oh, there's a lot of people that tell me they feel like they don't belong. They're not connected to the collective, you know, like they don't feel a connection. They feel, oh, I'm all alone and stuff like that. When I teach them this, they're like, wow, I really feel like I do belong here.
Good. I hope you guys practice in the audience.
Yeah.
Because I can definitely, I feel much more secure and safe.
And right. And but a lot of people, my case in point, my sister would not, if she did the tree thing of grounding herself, she wouldn't stay grounded. So this helped her to kind of always be looping that energy.
Mm-hmm. And because you're shifting this energy through using basically your imagination, your mind,
right,
it's affecting your physical frequency, which is changing your aura.
Absolutely.
So you can actually change your aura through your own will.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting, people?
Yes. Yes, you can. And so, that's the best way to ground. And the thing is, as far as auras, like you just mentioned, you can change your aura. And if there's something in your aura that you go, oh, I feel like it's really muddy, you know, like, oh, it's dense mud. You can kind of go, okay, what would clear up mud? So there again, our imagination, Einstein said imagination was really the number one thing that we all should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds, we know we don't expand it as much as we could, just because we're in this three-dimensional world and we buy into that. But it really is, what would clear up mud? So you think to yourself, oh, water. And so you start imagining that, like, waves of water start washing over that mud in your aura. And suddenly you'll feel like your aura is bigger, brighter. It really does work. So it's not that you're making it up either. Because a lot of people go, oh, well, then that's totally a fairy tale. It really is a personal thing about when you put that intention and you believe that it's working, like with certainty, and get out of the way. Like, don't micromanage it. It happens. It shifts. Everything's energy.
I also feel that there's a lot of, like, especially the people that are just starting to go into their spiritual awakening. One of the things is you get told your whole entire life that your imagination is like for kids, or that you grow to a certain part and you shouldn't use your imagination anymore. And it's quite the contrary. The imagination is so helpful, especially if you can't imagine it, you can't bring it into reality. So that's like a huge thing too. Like when you're trying to manifest something, you have to first be able to imagine it. Otherwise it can't come true. And same thing with any of the tools. I find that a lot of the spiritual tools really require us to step into our imagination and trust it too, because that's the other thing too, is just, you just trust it. Is there any other thing? So we did grounding. Is there anything that you can give advice as far as clearing? So let's say someone is going to a room where they know it's not going to be the best energy, such as Walmart.
I was going to say that exactly.
Like, what can someone do before going into Walmart to protect their energy so they're not, like, getting everything? They're not bringing in all this energy that's not theirs, and that, not to mention, it's so dense.
Okay. Well, speaking of imagination, anytime I have to go to any Target, Walmart, any of those, even grocery store, mm-hmm. even the Safeway, you know, it really is, I, ahead of time, imagine, so in Star Wars, they had the lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that I have put light beams in all four corners of the building. So like I just imagine light beams are there. And then I imagine one big light beam in the very middle of the building. And I go 1, 2, 3 and snap my fingers. And the snap is the trigger, and it explodes them. and you feel the energy just kind of start moving all the stuff out. It really, like, it's almost like an explosion happened. Also, that's one of the ways to do it. Also, using Reiki, if you are a Reiki person, you can use the power symbol, which is called Shoku Rei, and imagine one of them on the ceiling, on the floor, on the walls in the room, and then 1, 2, 3, and imagine them exploding the top down and hop up, and then the walls coming in. And what it does, then it goes into the ground. That's one way. But another thing is using the elements. So I imagine that in the very middle of the room, a tornado funnel starts spinning, picking up any energy that's not good, and then I snap my fingers and imagine it going into the ground. All of those work really well.
And honestly, the other thing too is that there's so many people that don't work on themselves nowadays. I do that every time before I go to work, because at work, I know myself and I know I cleanse myself, but when I go in there, it's a zoo. So I always have to look out after myself. So the one that you said about, like, putting the light and then putting them in the center and then snapping it, I do that all the time. And it's really interesting, because when you are working with the public, you really have no control of what's going to come in. And you can work on your energy and you know your clients, but yet other people's clients are, like, so entirely different. Sometimes it's like almost like you're living in two different worlds. What would you say, because I know that we have a lot of people that are, like, newer to the spiritual, just understanding things. I know that myself, when I was around certain people, I would feel really drained. Like, and later on, I found out that those were, like, energy vampires. So how would you describe an energy vampire? Like, as far as how can someone be like, okay, this person's draining me, and what can you do about it?
Boy. Okay. That's a big question right now. So energy vampire. So one of the things is, we know we have free will. Mm-hmm. So part of you is allowing that to happen. Mm-hmm. And I know people don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to hear that. But there are people that will, if you'll let them, if you're being a nice person, they'll take all that they can get from you, right? Mm-hmm. So you can put a shield, but the only thing about putting shields up is they take a lot of energy. And if we were meant to always be shielded, we would have been born that way. Yeah. And we're not born that way. We're supposed to be open.
Yeah, it puts you in a hypervigilant state.
Absolutely. And then when you do that, it kind of, also putting a shield up when you haven't really cleared your energy amplifies the negative energy.
Oh, no.
And you can actually make yourself sick. So the biggest thing is, the best way, shield, all around shield that will still allow good things to come in, is actually to look at a picture of a rainbow. And in the morning, and one at a time, breathe in the red and feel red, then the orange, then the yellow, then the green, and you know, all the colors of the rainbow, and imagine them lining up at that seventh layer of your aura, and it'll be a rainbow of protection. And basically what happens is if it's really negative, you'll probably have to clear it, but a lot of times, if there's any energy going on, by the time it goes through the frequency of all those colors, it neutralizes it. So.
Okay. There was one that you taught me, and I wanted to go over this. Does this work pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
That's usually my favorite one.
Just wrote something on paper.
Yeah, and I have.
Right.
She's going to talk about it.
Ruby Red, yes. Ruby Red specifically is a frequency that psychic vampires, I guess you would call it, it's such a high frequency that they have a hard time getting past that. So usually if you imagine filling your whole aura with the color, or even imagining rubies, your whole aura filling with rubies, you will notice that people that maybe really drove you crazy before don't get under your skin, because it's a way of shielding yourself from people that naturally pull your energy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what I like about this is, once again, you can use your power of imagination, or as mm-hmm. I like to say, I, Magi-nation, Magi is the plural of magus, yeah. magician, to really change your frequency, which shifts your aura,
or absolutely.
So that other people's frequencies don't really affect you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adversely, because a lot of these people that people call energy vampires don't even know they're doing it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's not that they're bad people.
No.
They just don't know that they drain your energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there again, there's so many things in our aura also, as far as if you're passive aggressive, you have really a lot of spikes in your aura. And basically it means that you so don't want to feel those shadow emotions that you're making it spiky to keep people away, because you know they'll trigger the healing in you. Things like that. There are ways that we make our aura. And just like I've mentioned, imagine filling your whole aura with chamomile flowers, beautiful little white flowers. It makes you go into ghost mode. So you could be in a crowd and no one sees you. Things like that. There's a lot of tricks to this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, and I want to tie that into your TikTok channel, because she posts colors that you can focus on to bring into your aura, to bring in certain feelings so that you can shift your frequency.
Right.
I highly recommend you look at her TikTok videos. And what is your name on TikTok?
Well, it says two things sometimes. So sometimes it's just Sammy, but it does say the Aura
Lady. S-A-M-M-I-E.
I-E, and then also the Aura Lady.
And the Aura Lady. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, you might be having some Aura classes coming up, online ones?
Yes, I'm now kind of getting to the point where I can start scheduling them, and I'm going to have more classes on how to perceive your aura, and advanced classes on how to shift your energy, how to clear it, how to also know if someone is draining your energy or is it yours.
How would they reach you for that?
My website, aurajoyhealingarts@gmail.com. I mean, .com, but my email is gmail.com. But
okay, aurajoyhealingarts.
So, .com.
.com.
Yeah, but okay. Then the email is gmail.com.
Gotcha. So, yeah. I highly recommend it. She has helped us both, hasn't she?
Yes. And not only that, but she also offers Reiki classes too as well.
And so contact her if you're interested in Reiki. She trained the two of us.
Yeah.
We can vouch for her. Okay, on that note, we will see you actually next time with more from Sammy. We're got her for part two next week.
Thank you
Bye.
For tuning
Bye.
In. Don't forget to share.